This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Thursday, April 27th, 2023, a.k.a. Greg Miller's 40th birthday.
Yeah!
I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is WWE superstar Xavier Woods, a.k.a. Austin Creed. How's it going?
It's going great. Great introduction. I love the smoke machines. It's my first time in the new studio.
Oh, yeah? Welcome.
I love it. This is incredible.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. And like I said right before we got on, I wanted to gush a little bit. You have been killing it.
Thank you, man.
Absolutely incredible job. The video you did on black hair in video games, I was like, yes.
Thank you,
yes,
dude.
Let's talk about it because it's important. And you did it. You did the thing. So
thank you,
Sam, I'm proud of you.
I appreciate it. Of course. Shout out to you. It was close to four years ago now where we did our first KFGD together in the original studio. And that was one of my first KFGDs. And so now I feel like this is full circle to have you coming back, actually having you in the new spare bedroom, the new Kind of Funny studio. Welcome. First impressions, like when you walked in here compared to the old spare bedroom, did you have any first thoughts?
Yes. This whole area that we're in right now is the size of
what
it was
studio.
Before.
It's ridiculous.
Bathroom, kitchen included. No, it's wild to see the glow up, because I knew that you guys got a new place and I'd seen it obviously online and stuff like that. But actually being here is unreal, because when you come into the parking lot, that view that you guys have of the whole city and all the houses in the horizon, like,
yeah,
it's gorgeous. I'm just happy for you guys.
Thank you so much, man. Of course, it's been a while since I got to hang out with you and talk to you. What games have you been playing, man?
Okay, so it's very intense. I got a Steam Deck.
Hell yeah.
Like ASAP, as soon as they went on sale, had one, so just waited, finally got my email, got the Steam Deck, and I've been using it to play through like my back catalog of stuff. I spend a lot of time on an airplane, and I do a lot of cross-country flights from Atlanta to L.A., and so that's 4, sometimes 5 hours in the air, and so I've been playing God of War, because I realized...
2018.
Ragnarok came out, and I was like, I need to play it, and I was like, oh, you never finished the other one, and so I ran through, Hi-Fi Rush, I ran through Cult of the Lamb. Yeah, it's good stuff. I had beaten God of War already before I went through those. And then I was like, you know what? I said I was going to do those Valkyries. And I got on, actually. I turned it on to play Disney Speedstorm on the airplane. But you can't play any of the other modes besides like local. And so I was like, okay, let me go back to God of War. And I'm running those Valkyries. And it is the most painful experience that I've had in a video game in a long time.
How is that on the Steam Deck? Because I love my Steam Deck. But I'm also, when it comes to handheld, the idea of doing something that is that high action on handheld makes me nervous.
It's incredible.
Yeah?
It feels great. So I use either just the straight up Steam Deck, or I'll set up my little stand and I just Bluetooth my PlayStation 5 controller to it. And so sitting on an airplane with a full PC in front of me with a PlayStation 5 controller, I can't tell you how many times people walk by and they're like, what are you even doing? I'm like, oh, I'm playing this like next gen game that has no right to look this good on a system this small.
Hell yeah.
It's amazing.
Is it living up to the expectations?
It's outliving them.
Heck yeah.
Because I think that this is the best thing to happen to games, especially for people who travel. So like myself, so selfishly, I'm using anecdotal experience. But I just actually ordered these glasses. They're called InReal. Mm-hmm. And they put a monitor inside the glasses. So it's almost like VR, but they just look like Ray-Bans. Mm-hmm. You can put on covers to black things out, and then it's like a 200-inch widescreen TV in front of you, and it looks better than a TV, honestly.
That's awesome.
And so that on an airplane, you don't have to tilt your head down, so you can just have it all loose and don't get your disc screwed up and everything.
Dude, you're describing the future right now.
Oh, that's all I want. It's the best life, because there's so much time that's wasted just sitting around. Whether you want to like rewatch a movie, that's cool. I don't like to rewatch things, shows or movies, because I want to feel like I'm learning, because I heard the way your brain starts to get old is when you're not making new things for it. So, for instance, if you're in the same routine all the time, your brain doesn't have to make up for your peripherals. But if you're traveling and experiencing new things, your brain has to take in new information and build.
It's like working out your brain.
Yes.
Making your brain, working out your brain muscles.
Exactly. So that's my plug for video games are good for your mind.
Hell yeah, dude. Now, speaking of that, like I want to touch on Disney Speedstorm because I heard you talking about it in the other room and I plugged my ears because I was like, I want to have this conversation on the show. I have not had time to really deep dive into Disney Speedstorm. I've played maybe about like 5 or 6 races where they have like this original tutorial kind of run that you go through, and I've done all those races, and immediately I was like, oh man, okay, this is fun. I want to play more. I want to get more into it. It sounds like you probably played more than I have.
I have dumped some time into it. My buddy told me last week, he was like, oh, have you seen this Disney game? And so I'm weird about trailers and what's coming out next because it makes me not focus on what I have now, and then I'm just like, so when Final Fantasy Remake was coming out, I was like, don't tell me anything about it because now I can't play anything that I've got right now. But anyway, he tells me that there's a remix of I'll Make a Man Out of You. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, it's like an EDM remix. So I bought it instantly. And then as I'm playing it, all of the music throughout the game is so good.
Yep.
And then the racing, like once you get a hang of it, because like you automatically think, oh, this is just like Disney Mario Kart. There's some very different mechanics in it that I think make it really fun. Like the boost system is unreal.
The boost system reminds me a little bit of Burnout.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly what we were talking about. It feels like one of those types of games. And the fact that everybody's got their different specific weapons, things like that. Like Mike Wazowski, which every time I talk about this, I feel like it sounds so ridiculous. Like Mike Wazowski's special is insane. Like he puts down doors so that when you go through it, you advance higher or you go forward. But if somebody else runs through it, it puts them backwards. So it's like little tricky stuff like that I don't know, it feels new and fresh, and I can't stop playing it.
I'm so happy to hear that because I would watch the trailers, and the trailers look so good.
Yeah.
But it's that thing where kart racers don't come out good as Mario Kart. Whenever there's a new kart racer, it's like, okay, it's a Nickelodeon one. All right, it's going to be mid. It's not going to live up to my expectations. Mm-hmm. Every trailer for Disney Speedstorm, I've been like, this looks really good, but I don't want to get my expectations too high.
Yeah.
But I've been hearing people talk about it, and people seem to be pleasantly surprised. People seem to be having a good time. And even in my time playing it, you know, I went through the tutorial area, and that's like mainly CPU stuff. Mm-hmm. I've only done one online race so far, and my complaint with the CPU stuff is that it felt like they were doing a lot of rubber banding. I felt like I could feel the CPUs just keeping up with me, just artificially. Mm-hmm. Playing the online race, that was the one where I was like, oh, okay, no, this is the real deal. Yeah. This actually feels right. I enjoy playing with other people.
Yeah, it's nice because there's the ranked system where everybody's just max level. And then there's a rank system where you go in with whatever level your racers actually are. Mm. So you can have both of those experiences. And me and my buddies were talking about the rubber banding stuff. And it's like, well, it doesn't necessarily feel like traditional rubber banding. It feels like the items are very good.
Yeah.
Like there's not a bad item in the game. And so you're always kind of in that pack of people. So it feels like you're always fighting. And in that sense, I know this is a stretch. It feels like a fighting game. You're always kind of rubbing up against other people, always bumping. You're always in peril of getting past. Like, you can never, from what I've played so far, it doesn't feel like I've been in a situation where I can get in the lead enough where I don't worry for, like, a full lap. Like, I'm always nervous that I'm going to lose.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, Xavier, enough about Disney Speedstorm. Let's talk about today's stories, which include our live reactions to the new Armored Core trailer, our first look at Twisted Metal, the show, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code Kinda Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be part of the show, head to kindoffunny.com/KFGD to write in with your questions, squad ups, and more. And remember, patreon.com/kindoffunny will get you the show ad-free plus a bevy of bonus content. Housekeeping for you. Happy birthday, Greg Miller. We are celebrating Greg's 40th birthday. That means we're doing an all-day stream starting with KFGD, and then following is a bunch of games and shenanigans featuring Greg, Austin, Poe, and more. That's happening today right here on Twitch and YouTube. And then only on YouTube in the live stream, there's going to be a 30-minute post show where Snowbike Mike comes in to talk to us, KFGD hosts, about your YouTube Super Chat questions. Stay tuned after today's handshake to hang out with us before the next Kinda Funny stream starts. And then over on Patreon, Mike's been recording Greg Ways all week, so go check those out. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Tripod Plus Plus and Delaney Twining. Today we're brought to you by Rocket Money and Honey, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have 6 stories for you today.
A baker's dozen.
Starting with our number one. This it's nice to be doing the show in person.
This is great.
Right? Like last time it was on video call. It just doesn't hit the same. It just doesn't hit the same. Story number one, we got a new Armored Core 6 trailer that has dropped. It is a gameplay trailer. I've not watched the trailer. Austin, have you seen the trailer
yet? I have not watched the trailer.
What is your hype levels for Armored Core 6?
So, like we were talking earlier, I always get Armored Core confused with Front Mission, which I need some sort of Front Mission content ASAP.
Wasn't there, I think there was like a Front Mission remake that happened in the last couple of years. I forget.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm out of the loop.
Yeah, you might need to hop on that.
I feel like I say I want things so much, but it's just because I haven't looked for them and they already exist.
They're out there. You're just like, oh man, where's the new Front Mission? It's like, Front Mission's been here.
Yeah, it came out last year. Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah, Front Mission first remake came out November 30th, 2022.
Oh, so it's fresh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Fresh Mission.
That's good. You know, fresh Mission. get a line up, get a cut. Is that on Steam Deck?
I think it's on Switch.
I'll have to look into it.
So yes.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So basically, yeah. You can play handheld. You can play it on the plane if you want.
Armored Core. I do have memories of playing it back in the day. I definitely didn't keep up with the series, but from what I've heard, people are pretty hype about this. So.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing is this is the first Armored Core that From Software is putting out since From Software has become current From Software, right? Like From Software right now, they're the big dogs. They were coming off of winning a lot of Game of the Year awards last year with Elden Ring, right? They're coming off of putting out beloved games like Bloodborne, Sekiro, the Dark Souls franchises, right? And, like, it's been a minute since we've gotten Armored Core. And I'm somebody who, I look at Armored Core and I'm like, oh, that looks really cool, but I've not actually played Armored Core despite that. And now coming off of me absolutely loving Bloodborne, absolutely loving Sekiro, and absolutely loving Elden Ring, I'm in a place where I will at the very least check out anything that From Software does.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to fall in love with Armored Core because it seems like a way different kind of game.
Yes.
But I have such fandom now and trust for From Software that I'm like, oh, I'm going to pay attention to this. Like, I'll watch the trailers. I'm going to keep up. I'm going to live react to the trailers like we're about to do. But I'm excited to see what it is, and I'm excited to check it out. That's where I'm at with it.
Yeah. Anything with mechs, honestly, gets me excited.
Yes.
I'm a huge Gundam fan.
Have you been watching The Witch from Mercury?
No.
That's the new Gundam series that's out. I'm not even a Gundam person, but one of my friends showed me Gundam The Witch from Mercury, and I watched like the first 3 episodes. I'm in.
Oh, okay.
Seems incredible. We gotta like catch you up on all this new stuff that you like.
I'm still like in the this is me aging myself, like, oh, Gundam Wing is my jam. But yeah, anything with mechs and big robots, I'm usually like, okay, I'll give this
I'm realizing
minutes.
That I might be there too, because after watching Gundam The Witch from Mercury, the first few episodes, I'm like, this is so awesome. I'm absolutely loving this. And then I go back and I'm like, I guess I also loved Code Geass as well.
Yeah.
Like, Code Geass is dope as hell.
Evangelion?
I haven't gone through Evangelion yet. I want to. But like, also there's this game 13 Sentinels Aegis Rim that is also another like mech story that I fucking love.
Yeah.
Didn't you also love Megas XLR?
I did love Megas XLR, yeah. Dude. That was the show.
Bro.
And then there's Metal Gear Solid, of course.
Of course. But can we spend 30 seconds and just praise Megas XLR?
Oh, yeah.
One of the most underrated cartoons.
People don't talk about
Megas
XLR enough.
Yeah. And I really do feel like a remake starring Austin Creed and Blessing would be fantastic.
Could you imagine the two of us just in cartoon form in a garage just making our own mechs?
Just in a dump. We got these big mechs.
This is turning a pickup truck into a mech. God, give it to me.
Is this Transformers? No. No, it's not.
Now, Austin, are you ready to live react to the new trailer of Armored Core 6?
Ready.
Barrett, cue it up.
Give me just a sec here. Hold on. And then we go to... what scene do we go to? Special react. Here we go.
There we go. All right. Press and play. Of course, coming from B&I Namco Entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Goats.
We're close to Rubicon. Wake the dog up.
For audio listeners, we're in outer space
Handler,
right now.
Walter, verified. Activating cerebral choral control device.
Space is terrifying.
Space is terrifying.
This is scary out there.
Feed the fire.
Okay.
It looks like we're dropping onto a planet.
Yep, I'm already in, honestly.
We can different environment views. Mm-hmm. Let the last cinders burn.
It says let the body hit the floor. I'm gonna lose my mind.
If there's anything from software we'll do, they'll hit you with the fire one-liners. 621 has awakened. Holy shit.
Yep.
Holy shit.
Ooh. Ooh.
We're getting glimpses of gameplay.
Yep.
This is way more fast-paced than I expected.
Yep. You know, well, I'll save that first.
And it's way more cinematic than I expected.
I like this a lot. Oh no, you can change forms too.
Yeah, changing forms. Oh my.
Oh no.
Bro, you can seamlessly change forms mid-fight.
Oh my god. What? Dude, that's what it looks like, yeah.
It's a long run on his back. Oh, here we go with the whip.
Got a big robot snake looking thing.
Why am I getting Shadow of Colossus vibes?
Dude, right? Yeah, no, that's actually a really good call.
There's another...
The infamous handler, Walter Towns. Interesting. You ready to climb the wall?
Jeez.
Yeah.
Call sign Raven. Priority subject for termination.
Zone of Enders vibes, too.
A coral response from the generator. Watch out!
Oh, there is oh my god. There's a lot of cool visual elements in terms of how the mechs are transforming.
Yeah. All the little details on all the enemies look wild too.
Let's see how far they can fly.
Dude, look at that sky.
Unborrowed wings.
That's insane. Armor Core 6, Fires Rubicon, August 25th, 2023.
I'm in.
That looked really cool.
I'm in hard. Did you play Zone of Enders?
No, I didn't get to play Zone of the Enders.
So it kind of, from looking at that, it looks like that where you're a mech. It's open, not an arena fighter, but you're in like arena type settings, essentially, fighting all the bad guys, all the big robots. But it looks smooth, man.
Yeah, this looks super smooth. I appreciate how much variety we're seeing in terms of the combat. It looks like we're getting a lot of what you expect from mechs in terms of rockets and guns flying. But then also in the second half of the trailer, we saw a lot of melee type weapons, right? We saw like whips. We saw laser swords and shit, which I'm down for. Like that is what I want out of From Software. You know, it's fun going into this and knowing, well, this isn't going to be a Souls-like, right? Because it is going to be a mech game. This is going to be more Armored Core. But I do remember when they announced this at the Game Awards that they followed that up with a press release talking about how, no, we're learning. We're still taking the learnings from the games that we've made over the past decade. Like this is going to be an Armored Core 6 post what we've done is From Software, and seeing the combat, seeing the fights. I mean, quite a few of those looked like straight up boss fights. Those bosses have a lot of detail, right? Like the one boss that had, I don't even know what to call those, right? But like the transformation where you know, they had like all the rails come through and then all the rockets emerged from that. I'm like, dude, those are the kind of transformations I want out of bosses in this game. I want all the detail, right? I want all the cool transformations. I want the different phases.
Yeah.
And I want like, and that was exactly what I was talking about.
Yep.
That was just there. And I want, as a player, right, to have to be in the action. I want to be dodging, I want to be dodging all over the place.
Yeah, I love a good bullet hell game in any format. So to have it in something that looks so good.
Oh, throw Nier in there, by the way, for Nier, the mech games. Yeah, Nier Automata.
Yeah. So I can't tell you how many times I've started that game.
Yeah?
It just happens over and over, and then I do something else, and I got
to
go back to it.
That's kind of the point of the game, is to play it over and over. But you have to get to the endings.
No, I get like 10 hours in, then I'm like, oh, shiny new thing over here. And I leave.
Mm-hmm.
But then the soundtrack.
Now, are you an Elden Ring person? Did you play the other From Software?
So I'm not an Elden Ring person, and it's because I'm doing like a million things at any given moment. So I have to pick like what I'm playing, and I have to play a lot of stuff. Not have to. I want to play a lot of stuff. And so once I started Elden Ring, and I got like 10 minutes in, I was like, oh
yeah,
I don't have the time to love this like I need to love it, and I don't want to run through it, because then it's like, why am I even playing it if I'm not going to really play it? So I haven't gotten into it yet.
The best way to get me into playing a 100-hour game is by tricking me into making me think that it's a 30-hour game.
Yes.
Because that's what I thought. Elden Ring, we got review codes for Elden Ring, and I was like, okay, 30 hours. Oh, man, I don't have much time to review it, but oh, whatever, I'll play it, right? I played about 20 hours, and then like I meet up with Andy and Tamor, and they're like, dude, we are 40 hours into this thing and there's a lot more game here. And I'm like, oh snap. But at that point I already loved it, and so I just keep going. Like 60 hours later I'm like, dude, I put in a lot of time into this thing.
It hurts, man. It hurts. And I want to so bad, but I know, like, I'm going to cut off all contact with all people and all forms of life if I sit down and actually dig into this. And I have to, like, be done wrestling before I play Elden Ring.
I mean, that could be Elden Ring could be, like, a five-year game for you where you just chip away at it for years and years.
I'm going to come back on after I'm done wrestling, full beard, just disheveled. Like, okay, I played Elden Ring.
I beat Millennia. I want to read this game description of Armored Core 6 from Bandai Namco that they put out. A mysterious new substance called Coral was discovered on the remote planet Rubicon 3, which Rubicon 3 is a dope-ass name for a planet. I'm all about that. As an energy source, this substance was expected to dramatically advance humanity's technological and communications capabilities. Instead, it caused a catastrophe that engulfed the planet and the surrounding stars in flames and storms, forming a burning star system. Almost half a century later, Coral has resurfaced on Rubicon 3, a planet now contaminated and sealed off by the catastrophe. Extraterrestrial corporations and resistance groups fight over control of the substance. The player infiltrates Rubicon as an independent mercenary and finds themselves in a struggle over the substance with the corporations and other factions. Which, that sounds cool. Funny enough, I feel like that lines up with what I expect from Software. Because in all their games, usually it's shit went down and I'm coming back after shit went down to like see all the results of shit going down. And that's pretty much what the description is. Hey man, the fucking shit went wrong and you're coming back to Rubicon 3 to see what's up. And now there's people that are factioned against each other that are fighting, which I'm all about. This all sounds really cool.
Yeah, man. I love video games. I love that they're so advanced now and they're actually getting the credit for being such good storytelling devices.
Yep.
And just hearing such an intricate, complicated just intro to, oh, this is to set the scene.
Yeah.
Gorgeous. And then seeing the trailer, gorgeous. So From Software and Bandai, that's a love that. I love that pairing together.
And also it makes me excited because while playing Elden Ring, playing Bloodborne, playing some of their recent titles, the storytelling in From Software, I know kind of can be hit or miss with certain people, right? There was a big conversation around Game Awards where Elden Ring was nominated for Best Narrative. And people were like, wait, really? Like, what? Is the narrative really that good? Like, are you there aren't really cutscenes? Like, what's going on here? And I appreciate the reason why I was very much for the idea of Elden Ring getting nominated for Best Narrative is that, like, you know, it has a story. It has a really good story. It's just a different way of telling a story, right? So much of the story is told through being in the environment, picking up items, talking to people, like experiencing it, right? It's the same way I look at something like Shadow of Colossus, where Shadow of Colossus doesn't have, like, you know, traditional cutscenes and character development in the way that you'd expect, but the way they tell their story is different, and it's in that difference that it makes it fresh, right? It makes you go, oh man, all right, cool. I didn't think I could enjoy a story this way. Elden Ring and From Software kind of find their own groove in terms of how they want to tell stories, and I'm very curious for Armored Core 6. We're seeing a lot more dialogue. We're seeing like traditional cutscenes, right? Not that the other games don't have traditional cutscenes, but you're not getting like moment to moment, like traditional, all right, cool, I just finished this action sequence. Now let's get a bunch of exposition and character back and forth. All right, play a little bit more of the game, back to cutscene. Like, they're usually not that kind of games. I'm excited to see if From Software gets back into that and also what that does in terms of the story they're trying to tell. Because I could be down for them straddling that line in terms of, hey, we want you to experience this world and get the story out of walking through and talking to characters and like just like seeing more than actually listening and hearing, right? But I think there could be a balance thereof. But also, we're going to deliver something to you here because this is way more sci-fi action than it is fantasy post-apocalyptic.
Yeah, it definitely feels like more of an action movie.
Yeah.
So I do feel like that type of storytelling is that type of linear storytelling is kind of more in line with Armored Core. And obviously, like, I haven't experienced what this is, so I could be completely misguided and absolutely love a more open world Bloodborne style of Armored Core.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But in that Elden Ring or that Dark Souls type of way, I do enjoy that there's so much lore that you get to experience yourself in your way. So it's rather than here's this story and we're going to tell it to you how we feel like you should experience it, it's here's a bunch of information, here's some sheets, you put the story together however you want.
Yep.
And you can kind of guide and go at your own pace.
Because that's my jam.
Yeah.
Like, that's something that you can only do in video games. And I think that's what makes it special. I think that's what makes it really cool. But we don't have to wait too long. August is when we're getting the game.
Close.
It's
time is flying.
It's 2 weeks before Starfield, which makes me very, like, it stresses me out a little bit because I'm going to be just playing video games that whole season, apparently, right? Because when is Spider-Man going to come out? Is it really going to come out in September? Like, that was one of the rumors that was floating around. If so, Armored Core followed by Starfield followed by Spider-Man?
I can't do this. For the past, what, 5 or 6 years, I feel like every year has been the best year for game releases.
Yeah. And this year is possibly the best year for game release. Like, by the end of this year, we're going to be talking about 2023 versus 2017. Versus, like, what, 90... Or versus, like, 2004. I think 2004 was a pretty good year. I think 98 might have been one, too.
I don't know.
This is going to go down in the books.
I'll be honest. I'm overwhelmed.
I'm with you.
I'm overwhelmed. And it's to the point where... And it's not a bad thing because there's so many different kinds of people that play so many different kinds of games. So I love that there's so much stuff out there. But I feel like I physically cannot keep up. I have to pick a game, and that means that I don't get to play three games. And then the next game I pick, I can't play three games. So my back catalog is growing at this terrifyingly exponential rate where I think that I will have to be digging into my back catalog until I'm like 87.
Well, that's the thing. Well, video games come out at such a faster rate. Or not even faster, right? Because video games now take way more time to develop than ever. But there are just so many of them.
So many
video games coming out. And I look at last year, I was able to keep up. Last year, I was able to handle playing Sifu, followed by Horizon, followed by Elden Ring, and do all that stuff. But I missed Pokemon Legends Arceus, and I really wanted to play that. This year, like, I really wanted to play Dead Space. I didn't get around to Dead Space. Mm. Maybe I'll get around to it. Who knows? I didn't play Forspoken, and maybe that's fine, right? But, like, I was wanting to play it at one point, and I was just like, no, I don't have time for this. Like, I have other games I need to play, and the list goes on. Octopath Traveler 2, I really wanted to check out.
Yeah, I'm 4 hours into that. And I'm so excited because I heard that. So in playing Octopath Traveler 1, dumped so much time, and maybe I was playing it wrong, but I got to a point where I was like, oh, I have to grind, and I'm not even like deep into the game yet. Mm-hmm. I've got to spend hours doing this, and I was like, I can't. So everybody told me that Octopath Traveler 2 is a little bit more streamlined with a little bit less grindy. And so I'm like 6-7 hours in, and I'm really enjoying it.
I'm at a place now too where with Jedi Survivor, I'm halfway through Jedi Survivor. And I think I'm gonna put it down for now because I'm like, other games are gonna come in. I gotta be ready to play through Zelda and play through Redfall. And, you know, I want to wait for updates. I want to wait for that game to run as perfectly as possible because, like, with the launch update, right? Like, it's not where I want it to be in terms of frame rate, in terms of performance. And I would love to play that game in the best form possible. Mm-hmm. But even thinking about that, I'm like, am I gonna have time? You know, in July? What surprise release is gonna come out?
Yeah.
Because this year, Hi-Fi Rush came out of nowhere, and I think that's what actually derailed me from Forspoken. Metroid Prime Remastered came out of nowhere, and I played the hell out of that. Like, what else is going to come out of nowhere?
Yeah, it's wild. So then, question for you.
What's up?
Digging for a second. So do you secretly enjoy when you hear a game's coming out that you feel like you're going to play so much, and then you see, like, the initial review is like, oh, well, frame rate's not there. You got to wait for an update. You're like, okay, good. I have 2 more weeks before this game is where I want it to be so I can finish something else.
I definitely do. Like, during busy times, like, when Forspoken was coming out, for example, when I played the demo and I was like, I don't think this is going to be for me, it was a little bit of a relief. Like, it was a bummer because I wanted that game to be good, right? Like, both for, you know, the studio putting out, but then also for me as somebody who really wanted that game to be good. When I played the demo and I realized that I wasn't going to enjoy it as much, thank you, Roger, so much for delivering Austin's food.
So hungry.
I was like, all right, cool. I guess I'm going to have time to play other games. And It's a blessing and a curse a little bit because that meant that I got to check out something like Hi-Fi Rush and fall in love with it.
Yeah.
But also that meant that I didn't enjoy Forspoken.
Yeah. But also, too, Hi-Fi Rush is a fair, in comparison, it's a short game.
Yes.
And I am really into those right now because I feel like I can accomplish more.
Oh, yeah.
Like I told you, Hi-Fi Rush, then Cult of the Lamb. So just being able to dump those that kind of time. So... And this is not connected to anything we're talking about, but I really,
oh, dude,
really...
We've gone way off the road. We're 30 minutes into the show, and we're still on story number one. And we're not even talking about Armored Core anymore, so just keep talking.
I really wanted to dig into Returnal.
When
I played it initially, I played it for like an hour, and I wasn't into those types of games yet. That's a lie. I played Hades, and I didn't like it, right? And then... I know, right? Because I didn't like those types of games. I didn't play, like, they didn't click with me. And then it won all those awards, and I was like, you know what? Let me go back and try it. And then I dumped, like, 150 hours into it.
Hell yeah.
Obsessed. And then they're like, oh, Returnal, similar. Just like, you know, on a bigger platform, whatever, whatever. Started digging into it and got like 4 or 5 hours deep and finally got to like that first boss and was like, oh, this is very difficult. Like, I can't do this. And I put it away. But that's one of those games that's like, I need more time.
Well, that's why I appreciate roguelites is because they're run-based, I don't have to commit. So just continuing making progress. I can be like, all right, I'm just going to do one run today. I'm going to do 2 runs today and put it down.
It's never one run.
It's never one run.
It's never
it's
one
like,
run.
It's like eating Lay's potato chips. Yeah. It's like, oh, I'll just do one more. Yeah. Oh, I got close enough. Let me do one more. And that's how Returnal got me is I just kept going. And I was like, dude, this is a fantastic time. And that's what works for me with roguelites. But they are an acquired taste.
Can we do something one day? We're going to put this idea in the back pocket. Remind us if I forget. I would love to do something with you, like a weekly thing that's like, hey, back catalog games.
Dude, I would love... I need that. The thing is, the thing that's tough about it is that now there's always games coming out. There's not a time where I'm not playing a new game. Like maybe July, but like Pikmin comes out in July, and I'm sure like you know there are games that don't have release dates yet. That could when is Hollow Knight Silksong gonna come out? That's supposed to come out this year.
So much,
possibly, maybe
so much. And I'm a big fighting game guy. So Tekken 8 is coming out.
Tekken 8 is coming out.
Street Fighter 6 is coming out.
Street Fighter 6 is going to take over my life. What is your most anticipated game this year?
Tekken 8.
Fucking yeah.
By far. So my favorite game for the longest time was Mario Kart Double Dash. Masterpiece. We need a second version. Not a remaster. We need a second version with the same mechanics. Double Dash, unreal. But Tekken 7 just beat it this year because we've been dumping time into it in the locker room.
You get that platinum?
No. That's
one of the few games I got the platinum in.
So I've never played the story mode in that game.
What do you think of the story mode?
No, I've never played it.
Oh, so you still not played it?
I've never played the Tekken 7 story mode. I have like 800 hours in this game, and it's just all online. All versus. That's all we do.
That's actually really scary. Because I was going to say, like, oh, maybe we should play some Tekken. But when you talk about 800 hours online, I'm like, I don't know if I got the stuff to hold up with you. Who's your main? Who are you playing as?
King.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not fighting you.
Come on.
I'm not fighting you if you're using King. Xavier, we got so much more to talk about on this show. Bad. But before we get there, I want to let people know about patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can go and get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
Shout out to Honey for sponsoring this episode. Honey is the easy way to save when shopping on your iPhone or computer. Thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. And we all know there's nothing better than the feeling of saving money. Honey's the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. Here's how it works. Imagine you're shopping on one of your favorite sites. When you check out, the Honey button appears and all you have to do is click apply coupons. You wait a few seconds as the Honey guy dances. It searches for coupons it can find for the site. And if it finds a working coupon, you will watch the prices drop. We hear it kind of funny. You've been using Honey for years, and it has literally saved us thousands on tech, costumes, food, you name it. Honestly, I just love how easy it is to set, forget, and save. Honey doesn't just work on desktops. It also works on your iPhone. You just activate it on Safari on your phone, save on the go. And if you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out. By getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this show. You can get PayPal Honey for free at joinhoney.com/kindoffunny. That's joinhoney.com/kindoffunny. Shout out to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode. We all love gobbling up content, and we have an understanding of what subscriptions we use. Or do we? Do you know how much your subscriptions really cost? Most Americans think they spend around $80 a month on subscriptions when the actual total is closer to $200. That's right. You out there. You could be wasting hundreds of dollars each month on subscriptions you don't even know about. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending and it helps you lower your bills all in one place. Rocket Money has saved some of us here at Kinda Funny a ton of money, and it can help you too. Stop throwing away your money. Cancel unwanted subscriptions and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. That's rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in Team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code Spotify for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Story number two. I just gotta say, that looks delicious.
What you hash just browns, said. So good.
I love a good hash brown. Story number two, we've got our first look at the Twisted Metal show. This is Jim at IGN. With Uncharted and most recently The Last of Us, PlayStation has found success in adapting some of its most popular video games for live action film and television. Their next adaptation is Twisted Metal, an upcoming 10-episode series debuting on Peacock on July 27th. IGN can exclusively reveal the new poster for Twisted Metal, which is officially described as a high-octane action comedy starring Anthony Mackie and Stephanie Beatriz. The first teaser trailer for Twisted Metal debuts online tomorrow, Thursday, the 27th. Wait, that's today. Unless that might be a typo.
Today?
That might be a typo.
Is
yeah,
it today?
I'm pretty sure this poster came out today, so they mean tomorrow, Friday, the 28th.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was confused by that. Like, either they mean tomorrow, Friday, or they mean next Thursday.
So, well, I mean, they say tomorrow, unless what time zone was this posted in?
Trailer. I'm looking at the trailer right now.
For Twisted Metal?
Bro, look at that right there.
Oh, that's not a trailer. That's just the.
No?
I think that's just like a commentary. That's like a news update.
Dang, they got me. Okay.
Yeah, they got me. but oh, Barry, bring up the poster again, because the poster is all we got for now. And just from looking at the poster, I'm in. Are you kidding me? Anthony Mackie,
it's gonna
one hand on the steering wheel, the other hand probably on somebody's leg. I don't know.
It's so funny to me that and obviously we'll see what they keep and what they add in from the actual Twisted Metal games. But it's so dope seeing that people are now actually believing in the stories that have already been told in video games when they make movies or TV shows, like especially with Last of Us. And it's like, because I feel like for years we've been screaming, why are you changing this for Hollywood? Why are you changing that? Why are you changing that? And it's like Last of Us, like, no, just do exactly what we already experienced now, in a new format.
Do we want that for Twisted Metal? I've not played Twisted Metal, but I've never heard anybody talk about the stories being the highlight, or at least like the stories being quality enough to adapt to a TV show.
As long as they have a bunch of crazy explosions.
Yes.
They have crazy weapons.
Yep.
We see Sweet Tooth. Like, I'm good.
And that's exactly, that's all I want to.
Yeah.
I just want chaos.
Yeah, this to me isn't a, I'm not going to, like, cry tears of sadness when this happens. Like, I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for straight action, bullets, explosions, screaming, blood, muscles, tires exploding.
You don't think there's going to be a scene where Calypso is holding on to, like, his loved one and being like, I got you, baby girl. Got you, baby girl. You don't think we're gonna get that in the show?
If we do, and I do,
it's gonna be Anthony Mackie that he has in his arm. I got you, baby girl.
If we start crying over this, then yes, I'm excited. But honestly, I'm pumped about this show. I just like seeing titles like this that are just like, and I don't mean this in a negative way, like just like dumb fun.
Yeah,
I like them. I like seeing them get expanded universes.
I hope tonally it's like Zombieland, because I think that is kind of what they're going for in terms of we want wackiness, we want it to be dumb, we want chaos, but like. All in all, the goal here is fun.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to make a Last of Us. You don't need to make, like, I hope it's not even, like, Uncharted. Because, like, the Uncharted movie, I'd say, is, like, fine to good. You know, it didn't blow me away. But it got what needed to be done for an Uncharted movie. Like, yeah. I don't know what I would have done different, honestly. But for a Twisted Metal show, yeah, you got to bring the chaos and you got to make it wacky. Because there's nothing you can take seriously in Twisted Metal.
No.
Story number three, Cyberpunk 2077 Phantom Liberty confirms gameplay blowout this summer. This is Robert Ramsey at Push Square. CD Projekt Red had already confirmed that it'll be lifting the lid on Phantom Liberty in June. The anticipated expansion for Cyberpunk 2077 has only received a couple of short trailers up until this point, but it sounds like we'll be getting a massive information dump when summer rolls around. The developer has confirmed that Phantom Liberty will be at Summer Game Fest and it'll be playable at the event. As such, we should be getting plenty of gameplay impressions from press and content creators. Cyberpunk tweeted this out this morning. In case you missed it, we'll start talking about Cyberpunk 2077 Phantom Liberty this June. At Summer Game Fest Playdays, we'll have hands-on sessions for press and content creators. We're also planning plenty of hands-on opportunities for our community at a later date, so stay tuned. Austin, are you a Cyberpunk person?
Love Cyberpunk.
Yeah? Are you excited for Phantom Liberty?
Yes. So it's funny, so because when Cyberpunk dropped and then all the crazy stuff went down, I was playing on PC and I had like zero problems playing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was so confused as to what was going on. And then obviously the patches and the updates and everything's like way smoother now and people are really being able to dig into it and enjoy it. But I've loved all of the experiences that I've had playing Cyberpunk and just being able to, you know, get all the augmentations and all that type of stuff. It's, I don't know. I like it a lot.
I'm right there with you. I played it during the review period without even the day one patch. And I had bugs and stuff, and especially without the day one patch and like weirdness. But all in all, I came out of that game being like, no, I had a great time with it.
Yeah.
And it sucks that it then came out to consoles and PS4 and Xbox One and just did not run on those machines. Yeah. And it was so bad. But yeah, over the time, I think they've done a great job of cleaning up their name and like cleaning up the game in terms of what the bugs and performance issues were. And then also, yeah, having things like updates, having things like Cyberpunk, the anime that came out on Netflix that everybody loves. Right now, we're at a place where Phantom Liberty is poised to be well-received, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited for it. I'm excited for Idris Elba.
Yeah.
I love me some Idris Elba. Mm-hmm.
Of course, we have to.
Do you have any like big desires in terms of what they could add to the DLC to get you excited as a Cyberpunk person?
I mean, I'm excited because there's more content, so there's more stuff
to do. You just want more story.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't know. Like, I really enjoyed being able to interact with so many different types of people and take the story whatever way you kind of wanted to. I don't know. I'd have to think about it. I might have something for you in like 10 minutes.
I'll circle back around. I'm gonna keep that. Let's move on to story number four. PlayStation VR 2 will soon be available to buy at retailers. This is Andy Robinson at Video Games Chronicle. PSVR 2 will soon be in stock at local retailers, in addition to PlayStation's online store, Sony has confirmed. Previously, the next-gen VR headset, which retails for $550, was only available on Sony's PlayStation Direct site. Quote, check your local retailer for availability, the company said on Thursday. Last month, Sony's CFO, Hiroki Totoki, was asked to evaluate PSVR 2's launch and what the company's expectations for the hardware are going forward. Quote, we are very happy to launch VR 2 on PS5, he said. VR1, we sold over 5 million units, and I think we have a good chance to exceed that amount with PSVR 2, end quote. Austin, are you a VR person? Do you like VR?
Love VR. I live inside my Oculus on Demio.
Oh, yeah.
You played this?
No, the on Demio? Oh, like the game Demio.
Demio, yeah.
Oh, no, yeah, I have played Demio.
Okay.
Demio's cool.
In VR?
Yeah,
or,
okay. I played in VR. I played on PSVR 2.
Okay.
And it was one of the ones where I was like, oh, this is a really neat idea. This is actually really cool.
Yeah, I think for VR practical use in games, that's one of, if not my favorite VR game, because you feel like you're playing with your friends, you feel like you're in the same space as them, moving these pieces around. So I've heard awesome things about PSVR 2. I had the first one, and oh, there we go! Boom!
Yeah, if you're a video watcher, Bear's pulled up footage. Yeah, no, this was, I think, either the first or second thing I booted up in PSVR 2.
Yeah.
And I was really impressed by this game because the concept is so simple, but it's so smart.
Mm-hmm.
You're literally just playing a tabletop game.
Yeah, man.
In VR, and it works. You are picking up the pieces, you're moving them, you are using the different abilities, but you see the animations for the abilities play out on the board. It's fucking genius. It's a really good idea.
It's so good. So I haven't messed with the PSVR a lot. I did when it first came out and was doing, what was it called, a Rush of Blood?
Until Dawn.
Yeah, Until Dawn stuff. But at that point, I wasn't really acclimated to VR yet, so like I'd still get super queasy and all that. But I feel like I've been like living in my Oculus every chance I get when I'm at home. So I'm excited to see what PSVR 2 brings to the table that I don't get from my Oculus.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, the few things I would say is like, fidelity. You know, you're getting a, and you're playing what, Oculus Quest, or are you playing Oculus on your PC?
Quest.
So yeah,
like both, because you can connect it, but
for sure,
yeah,
yeah. But like, you know, in terms of how good stuff looks in PSVR 2, Horizon Call of the Mountain looks beautiful.
Yeah.
And like playing Gran Turismo, it looks gorgeous. So you have that, and then you also have games like Gran Turismo. But I know for me, I'm still needing more like more exclusive stuff and more exciting games to come out for PSVR 2. That's been my hang up with the platform so far, is that I feel like I'm not getting enough in terms of, oh, here's something that you've not seen before. Because like I've played Resident Evil Village, right? I played Pistol Whip. I've played a lot of the games that they have, that they're bringing to the platform. I'm even still waiting on Beat Saber for this thing. Just the other day I played Beat Saber on Oculus, and it's, I was like, great. Dude, I wish this game was on PSVR 2.
Yeah, that's the confusing part. Not confusing, but the interesting part. Because if you have an Oculus or Quest, whatever you like to use, what is PSVR 2 going to do that those don't already do?
Yeah.
That they haven't already done? Like, so when you say exclusive games, like, are there and excuse my ignorance on this, I feel like I should know, are there companies and developers working on specific PSVR 2 games that aren't going to come out on another VR headset?
That's the question. Like, that's honestly the question. You have stuff coming out. You have like a few things that have come out from PlayStation Studios, and it's just the games that I mentioned. Mm-hmm. It's Horizon, it's Gran Turismo, and then like things here and there. I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong. Is Kayak VR, is that on other platforms? Is that even one that's moving the needle? Probably not. But yeah, I think the hope is at a PlayStation showcase, they announce one or two more titles that are PlayStation Studios things. Like, I think it would be I think you're knocking it out of the park if you're able to come out and say, hey, we're putting out a Spider-Man game on PSVR 2. We're going to swing around as Peter Parker and you're not going to throw up during. Like, I think that would be
difficult. Difficult to do.
That is difficult to do. But like, after playing Horizon, there are moments in Horizon Call of the Mountain where you're swinging and it's like, oh, if I could do this here, I could see them doing this for Spider-Man. And so I would love to see them try to put something out like that. There was an idea that one of the listeners wrote in with of, what if you did Shadow Colossus in VR? What if you did have like, because if you play Horizon Call of the Mountain, it's basically, in terms of mechanics, one for one, of it's climbing and shooting arrows, right? Yeah. And in VR, you're also stabbing with a sword. But I think you can make that happen. And if you're able to, I think that would be such a cool title to play that way, especially if you're, you know, again, you're in it, you're in VR, you're climbing on a Colossus, you're looking down and it's moving and like you see the fidelity of the fur and the world and all that stuff. I think that'd be such a slam dunk. Are you going to put the resources into making that when you can put resources into just making PS5 games?
Exactly. And
that's the tough thing.
That's where I'm not worried, but I don't know what game they could announce that would go, oh, I now have to buy this because I've got in my Oculus, and then all that stuff that you've got on Oculus is probably going to work on PS. So it's like, well, I've already got this. Like, what are you going to give me? And Spider-Man might be it, but I honestly can't think of any title that I'd go, okay, I also need to buy this VR headset.
And that's thinking like there's somebody in chat that mentioned that there's 90 games development. We're talking about exclusives, right?
90.
We're talking somebody, and I don't know where they got the number from. It might have been one that they've thrown out. But like, how many of those games are going to be on Oculus as well?
Yes.
And like, are you going to pay $550 for a PSVR 2 headset when you already have something that can play those games? And then also, like, are those going to move the needle? Are those going to be good games? Are those going to be immaculate, incredible games? What is the quality we're talking about here when you talk about there's 90 games in development?
Yeah.
Because they also said there's 40 games at the PSVR 2 launch. How many of those games are exciting games? There's also Firewall Ultra as well in terms of an exclusive. Mm-hmm. That's the tactical shooter, like think along the lines of a Rainbow Six type game.
Which we have 20 of those on Oculus.
Mm-hmm. And you also have Firewall Zero Hour on PSVR 1.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah. Because you said what? It's 550?
550, yeah.
550. And what's Oculus 2 is what, like 300?
Somewhere around that, yeah.
With already established titles, already established marketplace, already established everything. So like I and I'm not saying that they can't do it or won't do it, but I just haven't seen what would make me make that jump if I haven't made the jump into VR already. Because it's not a cheap thing to get into.
No.
And so to put so many resources behind something to have it be that expensive and to not have like 15 exclusives that you're not gonna find on any other VR headset is like, I don't know how it's gonna do.
I did look into it because I was curious about that 90 games in development being thrown around.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And there is a list, but it does seem like a good chunk of them are games that are available on other platforms.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of like the few that I like randomly picked out of names that I wasn't familiar with. So But then you have games like Humanity, which I think is PlayStation console exclusive. I forget, if that's PS4 and PS5, but that'll be available.
It's PS4 and PS5, but I think it's also on PC. But okay. I don't know if it's on PC VR. Right. So maybe, yeah.
And just so people realize, this is not me saying like I don't want to mess with PSVR, that I don't want it to do well. I do want it to do well. I would love for another VR headset to be in the market that's doing well and popping off and has new games and stuff like that. Just playing so much VR, I just feel like what is PlayStation going to bring to that table?
Yeah. It's the tough thing of, I think there are two conversations to be had with PSVR 2, because it's the conversation of platform versus hardware. PSVR 2 hardware, fucking fantastic.
Yeah, unreal.
Right? Whenever we get into the conversation of PSVR 2 on these shows, I think people always try to like conflate the two of, oh, but like you think PSVR 2 is bad, but like look how much more powerful it is, and look how like good the game's looking, all this stuff. And I'm like, no, y'all are right. Like PSVR 2 is a powerful piece of hardware that is working off the power of the PS5, and the games look great and all this stuff. But when we talk about platform and the output and the video games, and like, are we going to see more video games? Is this thing going to be successful? That then turns into another conversation.
Yeah. What is it? You can have a Maserati, but if you have no gas, what's the point?
That's actually the perfect way to put it.
Yeah.
We shall see. We have a PlayStation Studios or a PlayStation Showcase hopefully happening within the next few months, according to reports. Like, maybe we'll see a couple of games. Maybe we'll see Half-Life Alyx finally come through.
I hope that happens and we are amazed. And then we instantly stop all other types of VR and just play this. Like, that's what I want to
do. Apple cancels whatever they're working on. They're like, oh, it's all PlayStation now. It's all y'all.
Everybody just gives them the money. Oh, you made VR Street Fighter? Okay, let's go.
Can you imagine? You're just Hadoukening in the, like, you're making the motions in real life?
That's like
when they put Dragon Ball Z Tenkaichi 3 on Wii. And like, ooh, you would do the comedy. Yeah, it was weird, but it was cool.
Like, you could win, but you're going to be dripping sweat afterwards.
1,000%. Story number 5, Respawn CEO would love to make another Titanfall, but there are no plans for now. This is Christina Alexander at IGN. I know, I brought you up and then I cut you down immediately.
Titanfall 2 was so good. It's so short.
Respawn Entertainment's CEO, Vince Zampella, has said he would love to make another Titanfall game, but it's not on the cards yet. Speaking to Barron's, Zampella spoke about the possibility of developing Titanfall 3, but he said there aren't any plans for the studio to do so at the moment. He said he doesn't get fans' hopes up because if he says yes, they'll get disappointed when it doesn't come. However, if Titanfall 3 does come to be, it would have to be the right project and at the right time. Quote, it has to be the right thing, Zampella said. It's such a beloved franchise for the fans and also for us. If it is not the right moment in time, the right idea, then it just doesn't make sense, end quote. This reiteration comes nearly 3 months after EA canceled a secret single-player Titanfall game codenamed Titanfall Legends, which is set in the same universe as Titanfall and Apex Legends. This cancellation came after the mobile versions of Apex Legends and Battlefield were shut down. I want it so bad, Xavier.
I do. So when we're talking about games and getting emotional and stuff earlier, Titanfall 2... I loved.
It's such a good ass campaign.
I just enjoyed the story. I enjoyed all the mechanics and all that stuff. And I would love a longer, more fleshed out. Even if they were like, hey, you know, we're not going to give you a full Titanfall game, but guess what? We made an extra 3 hours of gameplay and a DLC just to say goodbye.
Yeah.
To wrap things up and everybody's happy. But I mean, I do also like them being straightforward and saying like, this is what we're doing. So that way we're not anticipating or hoping for things or, oh, this thing's going to drop. Oh, I hope they're going to come out with this. Like, no, he's telling you, no, we're going to chill.
Yeah. Every time I think about the Titanfall Legends game, like the secret single player game that they ended up canceling, I get sad because one of the people that was talking about it was Jeff Grubb. And Jeff Grubb had some details. He tweeted this out on February 2nd. This is a detail that I left out. Titans in Titanfall Legends would be like classic cars, no longer in production, expensive to maintain, but super cool. And then he says, game was also going to take inspiration from Hades. So you might start with a dash, but then you can unlock a dash that deflects enemy fire back at them. It was going to be so good. And they canceled it, Austin.
You know what? You know what I got in my soul when you said there would be like cars that you got to upkeep?
Mm-hmm.
You remember Real Steel?
I do remember Real Steel. I never watched Real Steel.
What?
Yeah. Is it a must watch?
Yes. People laugh at it on stuff. Watch Real Steel.
Was Real Steel the one, like the boxing movie? One. Okay.
Bro, so good. And we need like a fleshed out game. We need a second,
I think
third,
they
fourth.
They put out a Real Steel game.
They did.
Mm.
But we need a bigger one.
A better one. You need one developed by Respawn?
Yes. Or From Software.
Yeah. Maybe that's the VR game we're fucking up. We're missing out.
Here it is. PlayStation, VR2, if you give us a real steel VR game,
he'll pick it up.
I got you.
He's going to buy a PSVR2.
There's my 500. You got it.
There you go.
Deal?
He's shaking on it.
There we go.
Just imagine Jim Ryan on the other side. Like, all right, we got you. But yeah, like, I mean, I do appreciate the transparency. I appreciate being open and honest. Hey, we would love a Titanfall 3. We would love to work on it, but that just isn't in the cards. And you can understand why.
Yeah.
Apex Legends, so successful for them. Apex Legends is way bigger in terms of IP name and IP power than Titanfall.
Mm-hmm.
And that has pretty much replaced what Titanfall was, right? Like, they're having such success with that. And then also, they're working on these Star Wars games, right? They're working on other things. Respawn is such a busy developer. But I think it's... And I, here's the thing. I think at some point we get Titanfall 3. I think it's going to happen. It's not going to happen soon.
No. I feel like it's going to be... what is the movie? Unbreakable?
Okay.
Remember that movie?
No.
No. What's his name? In Die Hard. Bruce Willis.
Uh-huh.
So he's like a superhero, but in the real world. Mm-hmm. And then so they made that movie. And then what? 15 years later, they came out with what?
Unbreakable
Split.
2. Oh, okay.
And at the end of Split, you realize that's part of the Unbreakable universe. So...
It's a wild last scene. It's right? So out of nowhere.
That's the only time I've stood up and screamed in a movie theater. Like, what? Because they don't tell you about it. So in a situation like this, and I'm getting to my point, they say there's no plans for a third one.
Mm-hmm.
And so in 10, 15 years, when everybody's playing all these new games, 14 new games are dropping every month, all of a sudden a third version comes out, and it's like, oh, yeah, we forgot about this. And now mm-hmm. they've had time to flush out the story.
It's like Alan Wake. It's like Control.
Yeah.
Where, like, you play Control, and you're like, oh, yeah, this is in the Alan Wake universe. And then they start feeding in more of those elements.
Yeah.
Now you got a new Alan Wake coming out. I would love for 10 years from now, we're playing Apex, and all of a sudden there's a new season, and mm-hmm. there's one person in their game where they get like a certain kill, and then all of a sudden their screen turns black, and it's a fucking, you hear, stand by for Titanfall.
Yep.
Like, what the fuck is happening? And it's like a big event. That would be such a cool way to do it. It would be an in-game event, like what Fortnite does with their things. But hopefully we get that.
Yeah.
Hopefully sooner than later. I don't want to wait 10 years. Our final news story for the day, story number 6, The Last of Us Part 1 on PC gets a huge 25-gigabyte patch. This is Jordan Serrani at IGN. Naughty Dog has released a 25-gigabyte patch for The Last of Us Part 1 on PC. It's 7th update since the port was released just 1 month ago. 7 updates in 1 month. Wild.
That's so crazy.
That's a lot. The Last of Us Part 1 version 1.0.4.0 targets frame rate issues by further optimizing GPU and CPU performance and adding a new option to adjust the texture streaming rate, according to the patch notes. Also among the 22 bug fixes and improvements are texture and resolution enhancements for those playing on low or medium settings, as well as fixes for several instances that may lead to crashing. Naughty Dog says it and PC port developer Iron Galaxy are, quote, actively optimizing, working on game stability, and implementing additional fixes, which will all be included in regularly released future updates, end quote. Specifically, the companies say those updates will improve frame rate, texture fidelity, and CPU optimization, end quote. Wow. You've been playing God of War on Steam Deck. Have you considered picking up Last of Us Part 1 on Steam Deck and just seeing how that runs?
I haven't.
That's the dream for me, is to be able to play that game on the go, but I think it might take a few more updates before we'll be able to get there.
Well, I do love how they're updating it. This game they don't have to update it. They could just leave it as is, and people would watch this show and then they go, oh, I never played this game. They go back and play it and they'd be fine with it. But they said, you know what? No, let's go back and let's give some love.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do a little bit more just so it's a little bit cleaner, a little bit fresher, and people enjoy it a little bit more. And again, like we're talking about people doing things, so them saying, oh, there's no plans for Titanfall, just being upfront and actually caring about their audience and the fan base and mm-hmm. giving them what they desire. So I'm glad that they're doing this. But 25 gigs.
I mean, there was a lot they had to fix. Yeah, that came out. I don't know. Did you see the memes? Did you see the images? Did you see the pictures of how that game was running on PC?
No.
It was not pretty.
Rough.
No, it was really rough. Okay. And it's wild because that is so out of character for what the PlayStation PC stuff has been. But yeah, like, I'm glad they're fixing it. I'm glad if it takes 25 gigabytes of update to get it where it needs to be, sure, go on and do it. But Xavier, I'm very excited to see if they're able to get Last of Us Part 1 on PC where it needs to be. But seeing them put out that final update is so far away. If I want to know what's coming out to Mom and Grop shops today, where would I look?
Here?
Yeah, so yes. Bull underlined.
I was like, wait, what's happening? The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. I tried so hard to play it off because I realized I had forgotten to remind you of that portion. And I was like, oh, maybe we can just be smooth with it. Maybe nobody will notice.
There was an attempt, Bless, and I did respect. As soon as you took his run of show there, I knew exactly what you were doing.
Doing that while trying to also like form sentences was actually really difficult.
In my head, I saw you taking it. I was like, he's got it on his laptop, so he's gonna tell me to say something. But then I couldn't see what you pointed at, and I didn't want to read.
Yeah, I should
segue from the last news story.
I should have pointed at it more directly. I assume the big bold letters and underline would have.
But I didn't know
out.
If it was like here. It was like this one.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. Cool.
It was like this. Out today, we got Bramble the Mountain King for PS5, Xbox Series X and S, PS4, mm-hmm. Xbox One, Switch, and PC. We got Kaizuna AI Touch the Beat for PS4, Switch, PSVR, and PC. Lego Brick Tales for iOS and Android. Live Alive for PS5, PS4, and PC. Go play Live Alive. It is excellent. Omega Strikers for Switch. The Last Case of Benedict Fox for Xbox Series X, Xbox One, and PC. Mike, you checked that one out yet? Mike says he's excited. Ash of Gods, The Way for PC. Proto Droid, Delta for PC. And then Mail Time is out today for PC. We have one new date for you. Anakin Skywalker comes to Fortnite on May 2nd with a new Star Wars Force event. Deals of the day for you.
Hide the younglings.
Hide the younglings. It's like all younglings playing that game, right? Like,
oh yeah, they don't know.
That would be like such a like. I'm gonna boot up Fortnite. I'm gonna dress up as Anakin Skywalker, and I'm gonna log in at the time where I know all these kids are coming home from school, just so I can just take them out. Right? They're playing.
Some truly devious.
Standing in the middle of the map, just
waiting for them to come to the circle. Just like, I know you're playing on your mom's iPad right now. I can't wait to ruin your day. Just fucking cutting down all these kids. Deals of the day for you. Xbox Games with Gold for May 2023 have been announced. You're getting Star Wars Racer and HOA. Actually, pretty good month.
What is Omega Strikers?
Omega Strikers, I believe that's like the it's kind of like Windjammers, actually.
I feel like I saw something.
Yeah, it's a new one that's been on PC for a little bit.
Okay.
But like, they're trying to push it as like a new esports thing. Gotcha. I believe there are people that were working on like League of Legends and stuff that.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Yeah, it's like a disc.
This is in my wheelhouse. Thing. Yeah.
You want to check this out?
Yeah, this is 3-on-3, right?
Oh yeah, it looks like it.
Yeah.
3v3. Yeah. 3v3.
I will 100% play this for hours. This is my exact type of game. The artwork, the actual game. So any game that's like this, because I love Windjammers so much, and we were talking earlier, Windjammers is a fighting game, mm-hmm. because you get that same kind of hype inside your heart. You get the blood rushing. You get the heart rate up. Something like this, where you're doing Windjammers, but with multiple people. This is life.
Let's go. You might just convince me to check it out.
Well, I would love to come on and play.
I mean, Mike, can we make that happen? Mike says we can make it happen. Another deal of the day for you. And also, HOA is a pretty cool looking game. It has a really cool art style. It's a 2D platformer. The art style reminds me a little bit of like Studio Ghibli-ish.
Okay.
It's like, it has like a lot of vibrant colors, a lot of cool looking animation. Bear can bring it up as we're talking. That is HOA. And then the next Epic free game store titles have been announced. You're getting Against All Odds, KO the Kangaroo, and Horizon Chase Turbo. Those will be free to download from Epic's PC Marketplace from May 4th to May 11th. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, where you write in, let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong, so we can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe. Big Bad Beluga writes in and says, The Witch from Mercury is actually made by Sunrise, the same animation studio that did Code Geass. Which explains a lot.
There we go.
Explains a lot, actually. Shadow Fox says, The Front Mission First remake for Switch was having issues with the PC version, so you might have issues playing on your Steam Deck.
Mm.
You might want to double check. I'm sure maybe that's gotten updates. I can imagine they're not updating it.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Also, so somebody in the chat had my same thought. When you said HOA, I thought it was a game about a homeowners association. So you just play as somebody on the board and you just...
Like homeowners manager?
Yeah, tell them they can't leave their sprinklers on at 4 p.m. or something.
I'm sure that game has to already exist, or it's on the verge of existing.
There's a sim game for everything.
There's a sim game for everything. So that it's has coming. To be in development currently. And then Riki Maru mentions, currently there are only 4 exclusive games for PSVR 2. Horizon Call of the Mountain, okay. Gran Turismo 7 VR, Resident Evil Village VR, and Fantavision 2020X VR.
Isn't Resident Evil Village on Oculus? Maybe I'm thinking Resident Evil 4.
You might be thinking of Resident Evil 4, because that for sure is on Oculus.
Okay.
Resident Evil Village, I think is exclusive to PSVR 2.
Okay,
got for you. Now, though. I can't imagine that doesn't come to Oculus.
So, okay, so those games, even, and if I can just take a second. Mm-hmm. So you said Horizon.
Horizon, Gran Turismo, Resident Evil Village, uh-huh. Fantavision 2020X.
Fantavision, the fireworks game?
Yeah.
Are you kidding
me? They put out a VR. Yeah.
They got Austin's money. I'm
in.
I did not.
Bro, I'm in.
I wasn't expecting Fantavision to be the point where
Fantavision is the jam.
Oh, shit. All right.
Again, another game that people sleep on because, there's not this crazy lore. Sometimes stuff just has to be fun. That's it. Just give me fun. Give me clacks. I just want to have fun. Fantavision is unreal. Fantavision in VR, that's what I'm talking about. What? I'm sold.
All right, get this man.
Bro. VR Fantavision? When does this come out? When can
this,
I have
this? This has been out.
No, VR Fantavision.
No, it's been out.
VR Fantavision is out?
Yeah. It came out like a month or so.
Wait.
Yeah.
We're
it came out like, it was either launched or it was like a few weeks after launch.
Oh, I'm stressed.
VR 2.
Okay, so I'm going to go get one when I leave.
Yeah. I mean, you have fun news here. You can just walk into a Walmart now.
That's so
maybe
good.
Maybe not now, but soon.
That's so good. I'm on
walking to Walmart.
I don't get home until Monday.
Now, do you have $550 in cash?
No, but we're in San Francisco. I got a guy.
You got okay, cool. Yeah.
The character arc on this episode with the whole PSVR 2 conversation has been really good storytelling here, you know.
Well, as soon as I get home Monday, I'm going to purchase it and then I'll send you guys a picture of me playing Fantavision.
Let's go. Somebody in chat says Resident Evil Village is on Oculus 2.
Okay.
But I don't know how much I can trust random names from chat. I'm sorry, Jay Luna. Is that real? Is that truthful? Who knows?
See.
This week's host. I guess we only have one day left in the week. Tomorrow's host for Kind of Funny Games Day, they're going to be Tim and Timur Hussein.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting one. Also, there's somebody in Yurong that was complimenting your shirt. I saw quite a few people in chat shouting out the shirt.
Thank you. Game. Blouses.
I didn't put together the reference until you said it out loud.
Yeah, check it. Hold on.
That is fresh. That's awesome. Uh-huh. Xavier, turn around. There's Prince on the back of the shirt.
Yes.
There's a Chappelle Show reference. Gotta love that.
Pancakes.
If you're watching this live, remember, we're trying something new here with YouTube Super Chats on Kind of Funny Games Daily, only on YouTube and the live stream. There's going to be a 30-minute post-show where Snowback Mike comes in to talk to us, KHD hosts, about your Super Chat questions. So stay tuned after today's handshake to hang out with us before the next Kind of Funny stream starts. And, of course, the next Kind of Funny stream is going to be us hanging out for Greg Miller's birthday, celebrating the big 4-0, having a fun time, playing some games with Austin Creed, playing some games with Poe. Austin, thanks so much for coming through.
I have a question.
What up?
At some point, can we play the Fantavision today?
We might be able to make that happen, yeah. It depends on if Greg has his PSVR 2 here.
Well,
and I'll be honest, there's a good chance that it's here, because I don't think that man is taking that thing home.
Because he's got a little baby.
Yeah.
He's got a little baby. He ain't got time.
And also, he just does not care about PSVR 2. I think he leaves it here, because he's like, I'm not going to play this at home.
Good.
And so there's a good chance he might be able to play Fantavision. I definitely have it on my PS5 here. So if you get Greg's headset and you get my PS5, you could play it at my desk.
Well, Greg's not here yet, right? We can text him. He's got to come from home.
Yeah, but he probably left a while ago. It's his birthday celebration. He's got to be on his way here.
And we're kicking off that birthday celebration with another episode of KFW Season 2.
Whoa.
It'll be a fun time.
Let's go.
Yes.
Before we get out of here, Austin, any final words? Thanks again for coming and hosting the show with me.
Oh, of course. Thank you for having me. Yeah. I love being able to be on the show with you. I love the new studio. I love the hair. Killing
thank
it.
Thank you, man. Just, you're killing it with your hair.
Thanks,
I was like,
man.
I need to get like you.
Oh, we just need fresh. Both these hairs in a video game.
Oh, my God. More hair options, please. Please. What was the game? Was it Tiger Woods? It was PGA Tour. EA's PGA Tour, where Andy and Barrett were talking about how bad the hair options are in that game. The cornrows are so bad that you pull them up and they don't even look like cornrows.
Good.
They look bad.
Good.
Look bad.
This is a lot of effort went into this.
Fix it.
Yeah,
God
give me
it.
A 25 gig patch and fix all the hair. That's
hell
what
yeah.
we need.
Remember, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday live right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. Until next time, Game Daily.
Oh.